Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to Genesis 24. Genesis 24. I'm always reminded of a passage where the Lord told the two on the road to Emmaus concerning the Scriptures. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures things concerning himself. Now, I want us to begin this 24th chapter. I'm going to try to deal with the first nine verses. This chapter is a chapter that sets forth the truth of how the Lord gathers His bride. How He does it. You know He does it. You know it's not left to chance or man's will. You know that. How does He do it? And this truth is set forth in a conversation that takes place between Abraham and his eldest servant. It's a conversation that deals with Abraham's heart concerning a bride for Isaac. But it's a picture in this conversation that sets forth the glory of God in the rescue, of every vessel of God's mercy. Everything, if we think back, everything concerning the salvation of God's elect is being declared in this book of Genesis. This book right here. You take this book right here. This is a declaration of the whole Scriptures right here. Lord, give us eyes to see it. God's people's got to have a substitute. They got to have a redeemer. They got to have somebody that's going to die for them that God accepts. That somebody is somebody. That's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need one to take their place. Where do we see that? God told Abraham, He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, the one whom you love. And I want you to take him to the place that I'm going to show you. And you sacrifice him there to me. Abraham got the stuff ready. He got Isaac, wood, fire, two servants. And they left that next morning early. They got to the place. Abraham said to the servants, you stay here. The lad and I are going to go up yonder and we're going to worship God. He put that boy on that altar. He bound him. Put him on that altar. Raised his hand up with that knife in it. God stopped him. That's where we was taught, right there. God said, don't lay your hand to that boy. Look at this ram right here. He took a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. He put that ram on there. There we saw where God Almighty bore the guilt in the person of His blessed Son and Himself. And laid down His life for sheep. They got to have a place of eternal rest. Where did we see that? Abraham was going to buy a cave, the cave of Machpelah. He was going to pay the full price for the purchase of that cave. That cave was a picture of Christ, the rock, in whom we're hidden. You notice how many people of those like Abraham, vessels of God's mercy, that God had buried in that same place, in the cave of Machpelah. We're all God's sheep buried in Christ. In our haven of rest, the city of refuge. That's where we are. We see these things. God paid their debt, prepared a place of eternal rest for them. And now we're going to see in this chapter how He's going to call them out. All things have been done, finished, the Scripture says, from before the foundation of the world, finished. So here's what's happening this morning. God's calling out His people. It's men that God's called all over this world preaching the gospel. That's how God's going to call them. What's going to happen? Well, we're going to behold this in this conversation It says in verse 1, Genesis 24, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. He's about 140 years old. And the scripture declares he'd been blessed everything, everything. Genesis chapter 13, verse 2 says how the Lord blessed him materially. Genesis 13, 2, and Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. He had this world's good. He had it. God had him. And those things didn't have Abraham. God kept him from it. Abraham had the Lord. Look at Genesis 15, verse 1. What did he say to Abraham? Genesis 15, 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, or Abram, in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He was blessed in all things. In verses 2 to 4, in Genesis 24, And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my brethren, our kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Now, according to Abraham's word, Isaac was going to have a bride, and she was going to be found in a way that magnified the deep and blessed counsel of God. Abraham's a type. He's a type, he's a picture of the Father. The Lord Christ is going to have his bride according to the will of the Father. And yet this is in covenant mercy. Who chose the bride according to the Scriptures? The Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son, eternal generation of the Son. In covenant mercy, the Father chose a people, and He gave them to the Son, who in covenant mercy would redeem them. The kingdom of heaven, this is according to Matthew 22:2, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage, prepared a marriage for his son. So these things are written for our understanding and learning. So here, Abraham, he says to his eldest servant that ruled over his house, he said, I want you to put your hand under my thigh, and I want you to swear to me. You're going to make him swear to this. God is going to have a people of His love and affection. He gave them to the Son, then He gave, according to John 17:2, He gave all power to the Son, that the Son should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given Him. So, Brother Scott used to say, who's running this show anyway? God is. God is. So there's going to be a covenant. This Abraham tells his eldest servant, I want you to put your hand under my thigh, and I want you to swear by the God of heaven and the God of the earth concerning taking a wife for my son, that you're not going to take from the daughters of the Canaanites. I want you to go find a bride. Now, this practice, I read as much as I could read on that, and I don't think anybody completely agreed, but obviously it was a practice, according to them, that was of the making of a binding oath. I want you to swear by God Almighty. Put your hand under my thigh and swear that you're going to do my bidding. Swear by Him who rules over all. Don't you take Don't you go get a wife, my son, out of the daughters of Canaanites. Now let me ask you this. Where did that come from? Where did all that come? That when he said, don't take it, hold your place right there and turn back to Genesis 9. Where'd that come from? Well, in Genesis 9, it came back from whenever the flood was, water had gone back and the ark has settled and Noah comes out. Look at verse 18. Now they've come out of the ark. Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wife. Verse 18, chapter 9. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be an husbandman. He planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Look at verse 25. When Noah came to awaken, he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. I'm not going to go back and re-preach that message. If you want to see it, it's Genesis chapter 9. Go back to its own recorded. But these are setting forth those that are left to themselves. Reprobates. Left to themselves. Cursed. Cursed of God. He said, I want you to go get a wife for my son. And don't go among the cursed. Now let me ask you this. God has a people. And she's not among the cursed. She's not among those that are cursed, that are left of God to themselves. That's what the word reprobate means. Left to themselves. Left to themselves. Abraham said, you go to the place, you don't go to the Canaanites, back in Genesis 24. Verse 4 said, but thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. You go back to the place where God was pleased to show mercy to me. Let me ask you this now, spiritually speaking. Where is the country of the Lord today? Abraham says, this is where I want you to go look. You go unto my country. Where is the bride found today? What did the Lord say to his disciples? Mark 16:15 says this, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This world is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. That's his country. Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And who are the kindred? I want you to go and I want you to find one, find a wife. You go to my country, you go to my kindred. Who are the kindred of the people? Hold your place. Turn to Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12. I'll tell you who the kindred are. Here's the kindred of the Lord. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verses 46 to 50. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak unto thee. And he answered and said unto them, and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, what is the will of the Father? That you believe. That's the will of the Father. That you believe. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, my mother. So, where is the country of the Lord? This whole world. And who are we looking for? We're looking for his kindred. We're looking for his brethren. We're looking for them. That's what we're doing. So, the servant, he's back in Genesis 24. This servant says, now I want you to, you go and you take a wife unto my son. How's he going to do it? He's going to go looking for her, and he's going to have to tell her something. He's looking for her. He's going to have to say something. We're going to, Lord willing, we'll look at this as this chapter progresses. We'll see what he says. But I can tell you this. As we're looking for the bride of Christ, I know who I'm looking for. I'm looking for God's elect. I know who I'm looking for. Where is she? She's somewhere. She's somewhere in this world. And what I'm doing is I'm going to tell her something. I'm going to tell her about the Lord Jesus. This servant was going to have to tell somebody about Isaac. That's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to tell her something about Isaac. And here he's going, and he's going to have to find this bride, and Abraham's thought is continually on Isaac for his good, and the Heavenly Father's will and purpose in the calling out of the bride is for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That in the ages, Ephesians 2:7, to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So here's where we are. Abraham calls his eldest servant. He said, put your hand under my thigh and swear by God Almighty that you're going to go and find a wife for my son, and don't you go to the cursed. But you go back to my land, and you go back to my kindred, and you find a wife for my son. Now here's his servant. Back in 24, listen to this question he's going to ask. Now he hadn't sworn yet. He's telling him you're going to swear, but he hadn't sworn yet. Verse 5 says, and the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I need bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Now you think of the implication here. I want you to go find a wife for my son. And I want you to find her where I tell you to find her. And I want you to go and find a wife for my son, that has that number one doesn't even know she's being sought out. She don't know that. One that, you know, she probably never heard of, never seen, never heard anything about him. All she's going to know is what this servant tells her about the son. That's all she's going to know. But is that not the way the Lord calls that his sheep? How many of God's sheep knew that they were being sought out? None. None. Until they're sought out and regenerated, they're dead. They don't know that. They don't know that. They don't know they're being sought out. How many of them had ever heard of him and seen him with new eyes? Knew anything about him? None of them. None of them. But I can tell you this, in the day of God's power, they're going to come. Thy people shall be willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Everything that they're going to know is going to come from what they hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Well, this servant asked this question. Well, what if she's not willing to come? What if she's not willing to come? Do you want me to go? And if she's not willing to come, do you want me to get Isaac and bring him back from whence you came? Do I have any leeway right here? Is there anything? I mean, is there an alternative to this? And you know, I got to thinking about this a few minutes ago, just before I preached this message earlier this morning. And I want to consider a moment for the implication of that question. Peradventure, the woman is not willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need bring thy son again unto the land from which you came? Abraham. Turn with me to Joshua 24. While you're turning there, Joshua 24. And I want you to consider just where did Abraham come from? Someone says, well, he came out of Ur of the Chaldees. No, I mean a little bit more than that. Where did he come from? Joshua 24, 1 to 3. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. Now let me ask you something. Where did Abraham come from? Where did we all come from? We came from that place of worshiping idols. That's where we came from. What was Abraham doing when God called him? He was worshiping other gods. He was worshiping actually himself. Free will. Some little old gods that were created by man's imagination. Now, here's the question. If the woman is not willing to come based on what she hears me say concerning the son, do I have any leeway to take Isaac and bring him back to where you came from? You know what you're saying right now in your heart? No way. No way. If somebody's not willing to come to Christ, can I change things a little bit? Can I just tell them, say, look, now, if you just don't want to go to hell, come down here and walk down here and shake my hand, and I'll utter a little prayer for you, and you just repeat what I say. And then after you've repeated that, you're saved. You're sure for heaven as if you're already there. Is there any way, do I have any kind of leeway whatsoever? Verse 6, and Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Verse 7 and 8, the Lord God of heaven is what Abraham's saying to his servant, which took me, where'd I come from? He took me from my father's house. He delivered me out of that mess. And from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. Did that just do something for you? You think, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the surety that your bride is going to come to you. She's going to come willingly. She's going to come by faith. She's going to come from what she hears, from the servants sent of the Father. I'll give you pastors after my heart, and they will teach you. Again, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. He said, you beware that you don't bring my son back to where I came from. Paul the Apostle said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and salvation. Listen to what he said. 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of concerning myself. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me." Damnation. Woe. If I preach not the gospel, how's the bride going to come? I'll tell you exactly how she's going to come. She's going to come through the hearing of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14, "We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." The vessels of God's mercy are going to hear the gospel. They're going to hear the truth of the gospel. God doesn't save people under a false gospel. He doesn't save them by preaching where Abraham and all of us came from. Free will. Idol worshipers. The Spirit of God's going to cross their path. He's going to remove that heart of stone and give them a new heart. In verse 9, I'm going to stop right here. "And the servant, he heard what Abraham said. And he put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master. And he swore to him concerning that matter." God's preachers have a heart for that. God gives them a new heart. God delivered them out of that. And the only reason they don't go back to where they came from is because God keeps them by power. They're kept by the power of God. "Just, well, why don't you go get my boy a wife? Don't you go to Canaanites. Don't you go to the cursed. You go to my land, you go to my kindred. You get her where she won't come. Bring your boy back to where you came from. Beware. Beware." He said the Spirit of God's going to go before you. He's going to prepare the way. He'll open up. You preach what I tell you to preach. And I'll take care of that. And that servant swore to him. I pray God bless this to our heart, for Christ's sake.